We're getting ready for a handoff today along the Grand Trunk Road that crosses India and Pakistan. For the last several days, NPR's Philip Reeves has been introducing us to young people along that ancient highway in India. People who study in school or make a living at funeral pyres, people who seize the future or reject it. And now we're at the border crossing between these two countries, which have often been enemies. And Phil is going to walk across and meet us, and we'll continue the journey across Pakistan. I think we see him. He looks okay for just having traveled 1,200 miles.
Greetings.
Mr. Reeves, good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Welcome to Pakistan.
Thank you.
Come on over, we'll have a chat.
Sure.
So what does this border crossing symbolize when you think about India and Pakistan?
Well, this is the really only major obstacle that exists on this ancient trade route. And it's quite a new one. I mean, it's just over 60 years old. It's a product of partition, the disastrous withdrawal of the British when they left their empire in a hurry. Of course, around this landscape, although it's a gorgeous day the sun is shining down upon us, of course, much tragedy has been visited upon this particular part of the subcontinent. At least a million lives. Estimated a million lives were lost during partition.
In 1947.
Yeah, and the memory of that, I think, still lives on among these people. But having said that, the border is great fun. I mean, it's a very unusual border. You walk, it's quite a long walk from one side to the other. Of course, we are right on the edge of the Islamic world here. So I can tell you that the last bar between here and Turkey, where you can actually sit outside and have a beer, is just over there on the other side. And there's a guy over there saying, come over here and get a beer.
So you traveled from Calcutta, or Kolkata as it's now called, all the way to here along this road, talking to young people. We've listened to many of the stories that you've told. What do you think you've learned?
Well, they fall into three broad categories, Steve. One is that there is an enormous body of optimism among a certain number of them who are very well positioned to inherit the new wealth that India believes it's positioned to generate. They're confident, they're expecting good jobs, and no doubt we'll get them. Then there's another lot who are still very much filled with hope that they can get something out of society, that they can take whatever they have around them and improve upon it, get a good job, lift themselves and their families out of that position. And then there's a third grouping who I think have pretty much given up hope, particularly in rural areas. When you go through that great stretch of North India, which hasn't really changed all that much over the years, you do meet people there aged 21, 22, who've already abandoned any hope that they're going to get out of their situation, but they are investing their hope in their children.
You have traveled this road, the Grand Trunk Road, on the Pakistan side in past years as our South Asia correspondent. What are some of the differences that you see and that you feel between India and Pakistan?
Well, right here, the landscape is pretty much the same on both sides of the border. This great stretch of fertile countryside, very, very flat. You see the same melee of humanity and animals struggling to get through the side roads, battling against potholes, battling against each other. The same kind of incessant noise exists on both sides of the border. And actually, whenever I cross into the Punjab on this side, I'm very struck by how similar the peoples generally are. That said, the further west you go, the wider the difference becomes until you reach the northwest frontier, where they are very different from Indians in many respects. Of course, you see far fewer women on the street. Women tend to be covered. And in general, they look more like Afghans than they do like Pakistanis in this part of the country.
NPR's Philip Reeves has just completed a journey across India on the Grand Trunk Road. Phil, welcome to Pakistan. Sorry I can't offer you a beer, but we can get out of this heat in a minute anyway.
I'm sure I'll survive.
Phil takes a seat in the van that'll carry him to a hotel. His journey's done. Ours begins as we stroll across the Grand Trunk Road. This highway is a sign of hope near the border. It widens out to four good lanes, ready for some future increase in travel. Maybe that will come if India and Pakistan someday improve relations. That's the hope. The reality is the trickle of people on foot we see arriving today. Some of those travelers stop at a roadside stand. They look over the wind-up toys and cheap MP3 players sold by Mohammed Shweb. He's 16 years old. He spends his mornings at high school and his afternoons here. Each day, the stand brings in the equivalent of around $12, which go to his parents. Schwabe doesn't want to do this all his life. He has a dream. He wants to join the police. Isn't it hard to get a police job? Not if you're tall enough, he says. He's been talking with the border guards he watches every day. Mohammed Schwabe is not the only young man with a dream at the border crossing. Ghulam Abbas has his own. He's a farm laborer smiling from beneath a baseball cap. We sat and talked at a tea stall by the road in the shade of a tattered cloth hanging overhead.
He wants to go to India, other side of the border.
Have you ever been?
Kabhi aap gaye?
No.
Have you asked for a visa?
Kabhi aapne visa ke liye apply kiya?
No.
He can't afford to travel anyway. Yet Ghulam Abbas has come to this border more than once.
He said he's so fond of this border, he wants to come here every day.
He watches a formal ceremony that begins here every evening. It's late in the day when Indian and Pakistani troops put on dress uniforms. Side by side, they lower their nation's flags, closing the border for the day. Groups of tourists here on the Pakistan side sit in bleachers to watch the ceremony. And once again today, Ghulam Abbas joins them. He likes to look across the way at bleachers full of Indians staring at him. Simple pleasures like that seem to keep many Pakistanis from going under. After the border crossing, we drive a short distance west and find some Pakistanis who are not keeping their heads above water. Young men strip to the waist and leap into a canal. Some of these dripping men stop to chat. Ihsan Ulallah says they all work at a potato chip factory. Each earns around $130 a month. That's more than many Pakistanis, and still not enough. What's the point of reading the newspaper, he asks? We have no electricity, no water, no money, except for food. What they have is this canal. Ihsan Ulallah raises one bare foot and shoves one of his friends into the mud-brown water. Like young people in India, many young Pakistanis scramble for a slightly better life. Others hang on to a very good life and will meet some of Pakistan's young elites tomorrow in the ancient city of Lahore. You can follow our journey along the Grand Trunk Road at NPR.org. There's an interactive web page with maps, essays, photos, and links to our Twitter feeds. This is NPR News.